Good morning to each and every listener of the broadcast. I'm so happy to be coming your way with the short gospel message. And let me say, as I have said so many times, we certainly appreciate those who help us keep the message on the air from week to week. It's a pleasure to receive your letters and your words of encouragement. Here's a scripture beginning with Luke 14 and verse 16. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper, and bade many. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I've bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and shewed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Now this was a parable which Jesus gave, and it teaches us something which we would do well to receive. First, I'd like for us to notice that these people began to make excuse. For this reason, one reason and another, I can't come and I'll have to do this. And friends, isn't that the way conditions are in the world today? People have so many duties and responsibilities that they just don't have time to get around and serve the Lord and do His will. Here this one said he had bought some land and he was going to go see about it. And another one had some yoke of oxen. I guess now it'd be a new tractor or a new car or a new truck or something. And they'd have to go see about that. And then one said, Well, I've married a wife and I can't come. So there would be the personal entanglements that might keep them from coming and various other reasons. But, you know, I remember a statement that a friend of mine used to make. He said it takes more time or it's more trouble to explain why you didn't do a certain thing right than it does to just go ahead and do that. And isn't that so true? People usually do what they want to do the most. If they want to do something more than anything else, that's usually what they do. So then they just make excuse, I didn't have time for it, I just, well, we've got all the time that there is in the world, 24 hours a day. It's just a question of what do we do with our time. Now, you can just make excuses about not serving the Lord as you ought to, but still, I wonder, do you think those things will stand before the Lord and be a real reason when this same parable was given in Matthew, the 22nd chapter here, and long about 11 and 12 verses. Notice how Jesus finished off his parable. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Now, I wonder where his excuses was then. The provision was made for him to have a wedding garment, and he was invited to the wedding supper, but they just didn't do what was necessary to get the garment on, and it was furnished for them, no doubt. Well, isn't that so true? I tell you, Jesus gave many parables, and this is one here that he was telling about the wedding supper, and one just didn't have on the wedding garment. I tell you, friends, let me just be honest with all today. Now, the Lord has made provision for your salvation. It's there for you. But if you don't do it, if you don't take advantage of it, it's going to be just like this scripture in Romans 1 and 20. Listen. saw that they are without excuse. And Jesus here found this, told this parable, and then when the master came in and saw this one that didn't have on the wedding garment, and he was speechless. And the scripture there in Romans says, so that they are without excuse. There's really no reason why a person shouldn't be saved and living for the Lord. There's a lot of things can detract and take your attention away from the things of the Lord. But after all, a thing that will matter is what you ought to look after first. Now, a few things that people do to take away from what they ought to be doing for the Lord. Number one, the land. The one bought some land. Number two is 5 yoke of oxen. Number three was married. We might say that number four would be entanglements of various kinds. There are many, many entanglements that people get into today. Their job, their work, their activities. And you can just be going and going and going and still not do what the Lord would have you do. And then there'll be those that say, well, I just don't have time. Listen, we're going to all take time one of these days to leave this world. There's a time to be born and there's a time to die. There's a time to weep and a time to rejoice. And yet, some don't have time, regardless of whether we have time or not. We'll take time someday to lay down our activities here, and then it will sure pay us to have spent our time for the Lord and be ready for that day. In Revelation, the book of Revelation, the 3rd chapter here in the 17th verse, the message to the church of the Laodicean church, listen, the 17th verse, because thou sayest, I am rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And going on a little more to verse 18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. I tell you, he gave these people here at that Laodicean church a message. They thought they were rich, and they had goods, and had need of nothing and all, and yet they didn't know that they were poor and naked and blind. In other words, they couldn't see the things of God, and they were not clothed with the righteousness of God, and they were exposed and naked and open without salvation. What a pitiful state to be in. And yet there was provision for them to be clothed and to be have on the robe of righteousness. And yet, look again in Isaiah 64 and 6. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Now, those folks were in a pitiful condition, weren't they? They were fading away, wilting away, and their transgressions had taken hold on them. And he goes on to say in verse 8 in Isaiah now 64, in verse 8, but now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou our potter, and we all are the work of thy hand. Oh, if folks could only realize that what they need is to turn themselves over into the hands of God. Without him, we are failures. That's true. But through him, all things are possible. Nothing is impossible with God. And if we'll be the clay, just pliable in his hands, I tell you, God can take a person, he can take a drunkard and make a sober man out of him. He can take a sinner and make a saint out of him. You don't have to go on in that state. And yet, how powerless folks are to break the habits of sin that bind them to the things of the world. And in speaking to here in the 16th chapter of Revelation, the 15th verse, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Now, Noah preached righteousness to a generation that were afar from God, and yet, and it said Noah was a preacher of righteousness, and while he was building the ark, he was preaching to the folks of righteousness, and God took respect unto him and saved Noah and his family out of the flood. And of course, when the Lord comes again, he's not coming for a defiled and guilty and spotted church. Listen, Ephesians 5:26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. 27th verse goes on to say that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. I tell you, when Jesus returns to catch away his bride, it's going to be a great day. It'll be a time of weeping for those who are not prepared to meet the Lord, and a time of rejoicing for those who are caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, we're to comfort one another with these words. And so, my admonition to you today is, watch and pray and prepare and do his will and his service. It would be much better to do that than it would to try to think of excuses why you don't do it. Listen, the vineyard. There are many who go to the vineyard to answer the call of the Lord with an eye not alone to the labor, but looking for a great reward. They will work with zest near the highway where those passing by may see, but will drop from the ranks in a moment if placed in obscurity. Yet the vines at the back of the vineyard were planted with equal care, and the Master has never forgotten how many he planted there. And the Lord, who has called us to labor, knows best what each one can do. So be quick to go out to the vineyard, though not one may notice you. For the grapes at the back of the garden may grow on a precious stalk that the Lord would not plant near the roadside where thieves and the thoughtless walk. And the place where he bids you labor may seem a forsaken plot, but prove out in the plans of the Master a specially cherished spot. Then go to the place he has given, nor question his high decree, but be true to your task till the end of time, though no one may know of thee. The grapes on your side of the vineyard may prove to be Eskel's brand. When the labor is done and the workers before him shall take their stand. Our Father, we thank you today for bringing this short message to the listeners. We ask you to bless everyone this day in the way which they need. Give us a new inspiration and inspire us to be faithful every day of our lives. And bless each listener now, and we'll surely give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, dear one, for a few moments of your time. May the Lord help you to lay aside those excuses and whatever else may be hindering you from doing the thing that God would have you do. So, thank you for spending a few moments of your time with us today. Until we meet again, this is Willie Murphy saying God bless and keep you always, and a very cheerful goodbye.